A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights were probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 222. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are talking about The Boy from Space. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
The Boy from Space was a 1972 serial made for the BBC's Television for Schools series, in particular for the Look and Read series. It was a series of 10 20-minute episodes. They were shot in color, but they were originally broadcast in black and white.
And it's a show that we've been looking at thanks to a fairly recent DVD release from the British Film Institute here in Britain. This came out in 2014, and there was some considerable excitement about this never-before-seen gem being put out on DVD, and there were some other DVD releases promised at the same time, which we'll get to. And it's The Boy from Space is a little bit of an oddity. It's a bit of strangeness from the early 70s, and as you'll discover again from the 1980s, which we'll get into as we get along with our production notes.
And fortunately, with the BFI, they do a very thorough job of documenting and covering the shows that they release. So as we'll get to later, they did a very nice job of including everything and formatting it in nice ways for us to look at now. So the setup of this, there is an opening moment where we see two young adults returning to an observatory, an astronomical observatory, where they remember a strange adventure that they had when they were children. And it gets into these two children who are using their own telescope they've put together and observing a strange object falling from the sky.
Yes, and no sooner have they seen things falling from the sky than they are investigating a perhaps slightly familiar location, a sort of quarry location, where they discover a strange boy, the boy from space of the title, who, because of his rather incomprehensible speech pattern, they name him Peep Peep, and in view of the noises that he makes when he tries to communicate. And from there, we're going to have this story move us along and get caught up in a struggle to rescue Peep Peep's father, and generally to save the day in classic children's serial style.
That's right. So we should look at the characters involved here. One of the central characters is Helen, played by Sylvestre Latouzel from The Uninvited. Much later, we remember her from there. She is this very inquisitive schoolgirl who is also very enthusiastic about space and astronomy and telescopes and those types of things.
Yes, she is. And she's joined by her equally space-mad little brother, Dan, the actress Stephen Garlick, who would later appear in The Tomorrow People.
And in Doctor Who and many other things.
Yes, he's been in a few things, genre stuff over the years. And as we say, he's also space-mad, telescope-mad. He's slightly more prone to get into trouble, which, of course, is necessary in children's dramas to sort of move things along. And as we say, his sort of setting up of this their very own telescope in their shed and what they see when something falls from the sky, that kicks things off for us.
Absolutely. Mr. Bunting is a very cheerful scientist in charge of this observatory that they go to, and he is happy to explain how telescopes work and how to use them and various things that they are able to observe. So he is very helpful to these two youngsters. And, of course, to the audience at home with lots of good explanations.
Yes, he's a very jolly character, Mr. Bunting, and extremely well played by Anthony Woodruff, who appears to be having a great deal of fun doing it. They've also got Mr. Bunting's young assistant to help them, a chap called Tom, played by Loftus Burton, who was more available to investigate the strange goings-on with Helen and Dan, and also to get into some trouble with the boy from space and the attempt to rescue his father. So another adult figure that sort of tries to help them, and then things go slightly wrong. So it's all... It's quite sort of classic, as I say, for these sort of adventure shows.
Yes, for sure. Peep Peep was played by Colin Mays. He is this young alien boy from another world with a distinctive blonde wig and a blue jumpsuit. And his speech is incomprehensible. It sounds very much like a recording being played backwards.
And there will be some significance in that, I guess, as we move on with the plot. Of course, Peep-Peep is trying to enlist the children's help because his father, played by the actor Gabriel Wolfe, is a prisoner aboard their hidden spaceship, and he is being kept there against his will. We should just mention, while we're ticking off genre appearances, Gabriel Wolfe famously played Sutek in the Doctor Who Pyramids of Mars, and also provided the voice of the Beast in the Satan Pit episodes in New Doctor Who. So he's had his genre appearances. Interestingly, for a character with such a distinctive voice, we don't get to hear much of him here, apart from this strange played backwards sounds that that they emit when they're trying to communicate.
That's right. The Thin Man, we have no other name for him. The Thin Man was played by John Woodnutt, who was in Doctor Who many times, including Spearhead from Space. And the Thin Man is the villain of the piece. He is also one of the aliens, and he wants the valuable meteorites that the aliens have collected all for himself. And he uses a variety of strange, weird, and wonderful alien technology to threaten and imprison the humans and aliens alike.
Okay, so that's it for the characters. They're the only ones you're going to see in the actual drama of The Boy from Space. We turn to some extensive production notes about this show and about the whole concept of television for schools on the BBC. Look and Read was one of the BBC series under their Television for Schools umbrella sort of banner title. It began in 1967 and continued broadcasting quite amazingly. I was unaware of this up until 2004. They were still making them. And what would happen is that the programmes would be broadcast on normal television channels during the day to allow teachers to show them to their pupils. And as we'll hear, they had sort of specific goals when they were producing these programs as to what they were intended for.
That's right. And this was a very big deal at the time, that the BBC was making specifically educational television and broadcasting it at times when they could be used in the classroom, when teachers could tune into the BBC to show these programs to their school classes. And it was broadcast on the regular channels, so it wasn't exclusive to schools. Anyone could look at it. Look and Read was designed to help teachers encourage reluctant readers and to engage with stories and acquire new vocabulary. It was aimed at 7 to 9 year olds. They would present sort of exciting dramas in these short episodes with cliffhangers to keep them interested. And part of how they would do this, in addition to these sort of dramatic stories, after each episode, a television presenter would talk about the story and present some word games and ways of introducing new vocabulary to the young audience and sort of questions that they would ask them to answer about the program that they saw, and so on. And as it developed in Look and Read, they also had inserts with these sort of educational tools that would come in between scenes of the episode. So the entire serial would actually be much longer than the drama itself and have lots of inserts and introductions and conclusions with these sort of educational tools that were all related to reading in one way or another.
So as you'll see, there was a lot of supporting information that went out around the Boy from Space serial, supporting information for the schools and the pupils, and it was further backed up with an actual printed pamphlet which schools could buy from the BBC, which provided more information and so on. And of course, when they were coming up with these stories to use in this context, as you've said, Brian, what they found worked best was short, fast-paced serials with cliffhanger endings, so it would grab the children's attention and make them want to watch the following week's episodes, and also engage their attention for the word games and the vocab and presumably the homework that went with this, handed out to them by the presenters on the television show and by their teachers in class.
Yes, I think those pamphlets were actually fairly long and detailed and gave a large chunk of the story for children to read. So part of this was having the pamphlet with the reading material that was related to what they were seeing on television.
And I believe the pamphlet is on, there's a PDF of the pamphlet for The Boy from Space on the DVD set. I haven't looked at it myself, but I gather it is there. Now, as we've said, they chose these dramatic stories. So they had initial stories about traditional sort of earthbound adventures. So I know there was one about a hidden treasure. I know there was a story about some missing rare birds. But for the fourth sort of story in the Look and Read series, they chose to go science fiction and produce The Boy from Space, which is what we've been looking at.
Yes, that's right. It was written by Richard Carpenter of Catweasel and later Robin of Sherwood. So a very good writer there fairly early in his career. And he actually described it as one of the hardest things he ever had to write because of the limited vocabulary for that young audience that was applied to the show. And Carpenter also wrote the text version of the story that went in the pamphlet.
The film sequences of The Boy from Space were directed by Maddalena Fagundini. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. And the original music was by John Baker. Interestingly, both of them sort of graduates or members of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop at the time. It was filmed in colour thanks to a grant from a commercial part of the BBC, the commercial company BBC Enterprises, who thought that the story might be suitable for a general release as a feature film. I find that a little bit hard to believe, but apparently that's where they got the money for the colour cameras. But of course, it was broadcast in black and white, as at that time, most schools in the UK would only have had black and white television sets. Colour television sets still quite expensive and not found in schools in the late 60s and early 70s.
That's right. It does seem slightly odd that they were talking about film distribution for this, but I do understand the idea that they could have considered some kind of international distribution and that sort of thing, and in that capacity, having it in color would be a great asset.
Yes, I suppose that makes sense.
On screen, the story was narrated and summarized by the actor Charles Collingwood, who's well known as Brian Aldridge in the long-running BBC radio series The Archers. And the BBC also released a 12-inch vinyl record with a narrated version of the story that was narrated by Collingwood.
That's right, yes. Brian from The Archers narrating it and putting it out on vinyl. He has been a slightly dodgy character on The Archers over the years, but here he is using his powers for good.
Yes, absolutely. Working with the children's serial in an educational setting. The Boy from Space was repeated a number of times up until 1973, which we believe was when the videotapes of the complete version with all of these introductions and all were wiped by the BBC and reused for recording something else.
Which, of course, begs the question as how we've been watching it now. And this is because the filmed drama sections of The Boy from Space, this filmed in and around this observatory and in this quarry where a lot of the action takes place, those filmed sections were kept in the BBC archive. It was the videotapes that were produced from them, which, as you say, Brian, had all the top and tail in supporting information for teachers and pupils. That was wiped completely, but the colour film survived, and interestingly, Look and Read as a series still continued, and in 1980 they decided to return to The Boy from Space and have another go at it.
Yes, and this was an interesting decision, and something that came up was that in the intervening close to 10 years, the style and the approach that was used for this type of educational television with the word games and the introductions and intervals and so on, those things had changed in time. So it's quite possible that even if the videotapes had still existed, that they would still want to rewrite those little educational segments, which is in fact what they did. They did a completely new set of segments for that with new framing sequences and little interruptions were done for it. They also filmed a new little introduction for it with the older version of the main characters. So we mentioned that at the beginning that these two young adult characters came and then remembered the story from when they were children. Well, that segment with them coming as young adults with those original actors was something that they added later for the 1980 version with the same actors, and in fact added some narration by Sylvestre Letouzel as well. And again, they had the individual episodes introduced and summarized and all of these little educational games happening with two presenters. And this time it was set in a space station where you had Phil Chinnery playing the astronaut Cosmo and this strange robot puppet called Wordy, once again voiced by Charles Collingwood, and sort of designed to look like the old rotating typewriter balls. I don't know if anyone remembers those or not, but that was the type of thing they were designing things like. So you had this very sort of surreal setting that they set up for these little educational games.
Yes, that's right. It's slightly odd, these little framing episodes in this floating space station with the little word games before and afterwards. We'll talk about them and how watchable they are later on. So we get, for this 1980s revamp, we get some new music. And again, it's another graduate from the Radiophonic Workshop. It's Paddy Kingsland, who was well known for his music for Doctor Who and in particular for The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I think when you listen to his work here, you'll see some similarities with his great work on those two shows, particularly The Hitchhiker's. We've got a title song, which was sung by another familiar children's television voice, Derek Griffiths. Again, very familiar for all sorts of children's educational programs. He sings the title song. And then we get this newly repackaged version of The Boy from Space, with the new topping and tailing, the new music, but the original colour film drama itself. And it's broadcast by the BBC in 1980. And again, sort of every 2 years after that for a while. And even as recently as 2003 to 2007, it's been showing up on the CBBC channel over here. So I'm amazed that it's had quite the longevity, Brian.
Yes, apparently for that age group, it's been considered quite successful. Where it was not as successful was the idea of doing a cheap update to the original version in 1980. The 1980 production apparently cost more than the original 1971 did, where they actually filmed the drama. So that's interesting to see that it worked out that way.
Yeah, so much for that idea of saving money by reusing an old bit of film.
Indeed.
So, the availability of The Boy from Space. We got quite excited last year when the BFI announced a number of new releases, including this one. So, in 2014, we got a Region 2 box set from the BFI, which has two DVDs. So, it includes the 1980s version of the 10 20-minute episodes with the topping and tailing from the two characters in the spaceship. Or, if you find the framing device a little bit awkward, you might prefer to watch the 70-minute feature presentation, which basically just runs the actual Boy from Space drama without all the associated word games and puppetry. But we've also got the original Charles Collingwood BBC audio from the vinyl is on there somewhere from 1972. We've got Wordy's Think Ups, some various little animated inserts of Wordy's word games. This is this puppet that looks like a rotating electric keyboard or electric typewriter type ball. As we've said, we've got PDFs of the original BBC pamphlets, both from the 1971 release and the 1980 release are on there. And this is all topped off with a quite comprehensive notes booklet with essays on the series and the importance of the Television for Schools programme by TV historians Ben Clark and Christopher Perry, and also some recollections on the composition of the 1980s music by Paddy Kingsland, which is also quite an interesting read.
They also included an alternate version of the production where they had the audio from the vinyl version from 1972, with which we mentioned, with clips of the video added to it. So it's sort of a new presentation that combines the different things as an interesting take on it as well.
Yes, yeah, so it really is, for a box set with two DVDs, it is actually stuffed with features from the BFI, who really tried to put out, you know, all the supporting information. And currently on Amazon.co.uk, here in Region 2, you can get that for less than £10 for the box set at the moment. So a very good price over here in Region 2. But inevitably, I suppose, for Region 1, Brian,
there is no release in Region 1. The only release this has had, as far as I know, is the BFI Region 2 release, which is about as comprehensive as you could have for a show like this, considering that the original 1972 broadcast version no longer exists. They really included everything that was available for this and put together that edit of the drama-only version into a 70-minute edit. They did that edit for the purpose of this disc, as well as the special edit with the audio from the vinyl combined with some of the video. So they really did an exceptional job on this.
Yeah, splendid stuff. If you want to get a sort of flavour, there are a few clips on YouTube. Obviously not the whole thing. You can see a couple of moments from the serial if you search for The Boy from Space on YouTube, and that might help your decision as to whether to lay out your £10 on this box set.
Yes, absolutely. So next time, we will talk more about the plot, and we will look at the place of this DVD set in the recent BFI releases, and talk a little bit more about The Boy from Space.
Plus, of course, we'll review it and tell you whether you should spend your money on this interesting oddity of educational television from the 70s and 80s.
Absolutely. And until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there, and we would certainly welcome your comments in our various discussions there.
Yes, drop by, tell us what you think, suggest new shows that we might cover in the future. And of course, join in the fun by coming along to VogNetwork.com. Find British Invaders and several other geek-related shows going out as an internet streaming radio channel. You find British Invaders on Mondays and Tuesdays, but you'll find plenty of other stuff to amuse and entertain and educate. VogNetwork.com. And as ever, we welcome all our listeners on the Vog Network.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. And until our next episode, it's Eamon in England also signing off.